This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demarest, CPA with Parmalis & Associates. It's 2006. No one is going to break into your house or your shop. They're just going to break into your email account. This is crime in the 21st century. People are stealing your money from the other side of the country or even the other side of the world. Luckily, there are things out there that you can do to be protected. What is going on out there with other shops and how you can protect yourself is exactly what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Now, this part is a little bit different because you will notice that I'm not wearing my usual uniform of a quarter zip pullover, but I have a very fancy Brian's Road Crown real official gear here. So special thanks to Brian's Road Crown, to Chris and Taylor. I appreciate this. If you guys would like to see your gear on this podcast, just send me an extra size, extra large sweatshirt, t-shirt, whatever it is, I'll wear it. I guess there is some limit to this. If you have really offensive merch that my vendors are not going to like having on here, I might not wear it, but I will still probably wear it privately. So if you want to send it, if you like the podcast and you want to give us some gear, get a little free advertising, shoot me a message. I'll give you my address. And like I said, you send it, I'll wear it. But yeah, cool idea. I mean, I do this to give back to you guys. It's cool to kind of see who we're talking to throughout the country. Just like Chris and Taylor, some of you guys have some really, really cool gear. So appreciate it to them. And yeah, if you guys want to see it on there, mail me some gear and I will wear it. As always, if you want to hear a question answered on here or just have a question for me, shoot me an email at podcast@parmalis.com. Don't forget my new book, Beyond the Bays, a Financial Playbook for Auto Repair Shop Owners, is available now on Amazon for Kindle and paperback. Want to talk to us about accounting and tax services Parmalis offers auto repair shops like yours? Email us at info@parmalis.com. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors. And most importantly, we have four sponsors now for the show. If you need to hire the next rock star for your rock star shop, give Promotive a call. If you need to get your back office and parts reconciliation under control, give Wicked File a call. If you are looking to make major strides and improve your business, give Maverick Shop Owners a call. And if you want to kick your marketing into the next gear, no pun intended, give Overdrive a call and let them help you out. Special thank you to you guys for listening. Special thank you to all the sponsors for supporting this. And I hope that you guys all reach out to them if you can use them. Great news. You now have a hiring partner to help you with the heavy lifting of hiring your next superstar. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your auto repair shop. Visit them online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. Tired of vendors selling you leads without accountability? Overdrive acts as your outsourced marketing director. And because it's powered by AI, it predicts demand, launches smart campaigns, and tracks every dollar. More car count, higher ARO, real control. Visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's OVERDRYVE marketing.com. Building a profitable shop is one thing. Building profit and freedom into the same business? That's what the Maverick Shop Owners video training is all about. Our listeners can get free access at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. There are many ways for you to lose money to fraud. I teach a four-hour class on fraud where I go down through like 8 or 10 different real-life examples. Every single time I teach that class, it is new examples because this stuff happens all the time. Your team could steal from you. Your own family could steal from you. Your customers could steal from you, and your spouse could even steal from you. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, Hunt, how can that any of that stuff happen? It is happening, and it's probably happening to you. Roughly 25% of fraud ever gets uncovered in small business, right? And I want to repeat that again because I usually screw this up when I make these slides for the class. 1 in 4 cases of fraud are actually caught. When I do this class in person, I go out around the room and say, raise your hand if your bookkeeper has stolen from you. Raise your hand if a parts advisor has stolen from you, technician, cousin, whatever it is. And essentially what happens is 25% of the room raises their hand. And if you're listening to this right now, it's probably the same thing if I could see all of you guys. Small percentage of you are saying, "Hun, I know this is real. It happened to me and it was really bad." The rest of you guys are saying, "It can't happen to me and it won't happen to me." But think about what that statistic said. That's why I just said it probably is already happening to you. If 25% of the people in that room said, "Yeah, I've caught it," then that's exactly what that statistic is saying. The statistic says that only 1 out of every 4 people are actually caught on this. So if one person raises their hand or 25% raises their hand in a room, statistically speaking, that means that every single person in that room is a victim of theft or fraud or embezzlement. That is the lead here. That is to get you guys off of your butt and to say, this is happening to you or this could happen to you. Realistically, what level, how it happens is going to be very, very hard to tell. And I'll argue inconsequential in some aspects of this. The first thing that we need to talk about is materiality. If you have someone stealing a washer or a bolt from you every single day, you'll never catch it. I will guarantee you this, and you probably have it going on right now, right? Guys, inadvertently not putting this stuff on a ticket. It's a dollar. You're probably doing, what, $5, $10, $40,000 of sales a day, a week. It is too small. You're never, ever going to be able to notice it. On the other side of this, though, is if it's a dollar a day, there is no amount of time that you could ever spend going to find that would actually make sense. Hey, great. You spent 15 minutes to find it. You actually are cash flow negative. Realistically, none of this stuff is happening on a dollar because who cares? You're not even going to talk about, hey, this guy stole a nut from me. Inconsequential, immaterial. But what I'm trying to explain to you guys is how this stuff ends up happening. If you have someone that's stealing arguably $100 a day from you, you are never, ever going to find it. But after time, you can start to see trends if you're looking at your financials. After time, they eventually get greedy. After time, you should hopefully switch different roles on this, and so this stuff gets uncovered. This always, always, always happens to the people that say, it's not going to happen to me. The good news is we are not going to talk about any of that this week, because we are going to talk about one thing and one thing alone, and this is getting scammed by your customers. Why are we talking about this now? Well, the reason we're talking about this now is because it has never been hotter for clients to scam you. In the last week, because Reed was actually the one that came and said, "Hunt, we need to talk about this." I've talked about this in the past, but we deal with around 650 repair shops on a monthly basis. I don't think that there is any accounting firm that deals with more shops than we do. So we have a massive amount of them. But still, just in the last week, we had 4 shops more or less come down with the same scam. We have clients in all 50 states. These were not in the same area. One of these was in Colorado. One of these was in Florida and a couple more spread throughout. This is happening. This is going on. The average American is broke. And the average American would obviously rather kind of commit crime here than to go and make an honest living, right? So prepare yourself, guys. You work really hard. The last thing that you want to do is just give away your money, give away your people's time and labor. All of this kind of looks a little bit different, but I want to kind of explain of why this really hurts you guys so much. You know that when you lose that sale or when you get robbed, that you're going to have to sell it again to make up for it. But do you realize that if you get robbed on that sale, you have to do it 2 more times additionally just to make back your money? If one job goes correctly, it only takes 1 time. If that customer burns us, we actually have to do it 3 times in order to make the same amount of money. You might be thinking to yourself, "Hunt, what the heck are you talking about? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense." And I'm going to show it to you like this. We're going to be talking, I'm burying the lead a little bit, but we're going to be talking about tires. Wheels and tires seem to be really, really hot to steal right now. They are the new catalytic converter, I'll say. You have a $1,000 tire sale. You do a tire sale, you know, maybe the person charges it back, doesn't really matter, but you don't get paid on it. You're now negative $1,000. Supposed to sell for $1,000, they charged it back, they burn you, they didn't pay for it, they stole their vehicle, whatever it is, you're now negative $1,000. You sell that again, you're not back to $1,000 because you're still negative, right? So that second time that you sell it, you're going back to zero. So if you stop now, you just did 2 jobs to not make any money, okay? It's only that third time that you finally sell it. You've already made back your profit that you lost on the first one, and now you're finally getting $1,000. Scams kill profit, but really more importantly, what they're killing there is time and capacity. If this happened to every single ticket, you could only do a third of what sales you're doing right now. So when you're looking at this stuff, not only does this hurt you on the front end, it hurts you on the back end. We talked about this stuff with, you know, working on your own internal vehicles. This is opportunity cost, because we should have made $1,000 the first time. When I sold that again, I will argue that I'm still negative, because while I made back the money for that first time I got robbed on, I not only should have been making the actual dollars that time, I should have another retail customer in that same bay. So even looking at this, you probably need to do this 3 or 4 times to truly make back your money. This is really hurting you guys, especially on something like tires, right? Like, how much margin do you really have in that $1,000? Are you really losing profit? Are you out a ton of cash if this stuff happens to you? I have kind of tiptoed around this enough, and some of you guys might have actually been, you know, familiar with some of these scams, but I want to go down before we actually get into the way these scams happen or the specific situations to some of the key aspects around this that some people have learned the hard way. The whole idea on this one is the only way that the customers can rob you is if they have the car. If they have not paid you, no cash equals no car. If you don't have the car, I will argue another thing, no car, no cash. This is where story time comes in. Do you think that if someone comes up to you, you're closing out a ticket, and the person says, I know you just did $15,000 worth of work on my 6 series. I need to go out there. I need to confirm that it's done correctly. Seems pretty reasonable. He had an issue with his iDrive system, had to obviously do a number of other things for 15 grand, but wanted to make sure that the iDrive was working. My client said, yeah, of course it's working, boss. Go out there, check it out. And moments later, what does he do? But he speeds away. No car. And like I said, no cash. Now, my client wasn't really that bothered on this, because he's like, this is what the police are for. I was just robbed and I'm going to call the police. They're going to come sort this out. Now, again, this might be a state-by-state issue. This person was in Maryland. So God bless Maryland. Maybe this is just something lucky for us. But he was shocked to find out that no actual crime had been committed. There was actually no criminal act, because nothing was stolen. This person didn't steal a vehicle. The vehicle was already his. What he did was theft of services, and theft of services is a civil issue. If someone came and stole that car and it wasn't theirs, that is a crime. That is a massive crime on that. If someone stole that car out of your parking lot and doesn't want to pay you for the money, that is now a civil issue. Is it illegal? Yes. Are the police going to get involved for you to try and get your money? No. If you don't have that car and you don't have any way of contacting this person, is there any way that you're ever going to get paid for this stuff? Virtually nothing. If you want to put cash out on the street, you have to be willing to lose this. There is not a whole lot that you can do on this stuff outside of putting liens on this, but you can't put a mechanics liens on something that you do not possess. Most of my clients have moved completely away from the AR model on this. There is too many easy ways for you to go out and get financing. I just don't want to deal with that. If you don't want to get burned, don't give up the car unless you know that this stuff has been paid and cleared. Is your recruitment process draining your valuable time and resources? What if there was a partner who could take your recruitment efforts off your plate? Look no further. Promotive is your ultimate solution for hassle-free staffing focused solely on the automotive industry. On the web at gopromotive.com. Promotive understands the challenges you face when searching for the perfect technician or service advisor for your shop. That's why we've developed a platform that takes the hassle out of recruiting. Michelle Tanzi from Euroclinic said, I am a shop owner and recruiting new talent is so time-consuming. Promotive does the majority of the seeking and recruiting. They reach out to the candidates for you, and when they feel they are a good match for you and culture, they make the connection. They follow up throughout the interview process, and we make sure that the candidates are a good fit and the shop is a good fit for the candidates. I admire that they genuinely want both parties to win. They recruited and paired us with a solid B-Tech and Master Tech. Both left a dealership position and are still part of our team. We are very happy with the character and culture match, and both technicians have become valuable team members. Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and join the growing community of shop owners who have found their ideal team members with Promotive.
Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. If your car count fluctuates and you don't know why, that's not marketing, that's gambling. Overdrive.os installs a true marketing operating system inside your shop. It monitors performance daily, predicts slow weeks before they hit, and automatically launches revenue-driving campaigns to stabilize car count. Every dollar is tracked, every campaign is measured, every result is optimized. No random boost, no guesswork, no hope marketing. This is controlled via data-driven growth built specifically for auto repair shops. If you're ready for predictable revenue and getting the most out of your marketing, visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's O-V-E-R-D-R-Y-V-E marketing.com. You're working on growing a more profitable shop. That's critical. But the profit doesn't automatically give you the freedom or reduce your stress. That's exactly what the 24-video blueprint course by Maverick Shop Owners addresses. Customers, sales, profit, people, systems, and freedom. How to build profit and freedom into the same business. Get free access for our listeners only at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. So here's another one of that same shop. And he's just been burned on this guy. He had a couple of close calls and a chargeback on this. So he had another person came in that had a $46,000 bill for a Bentley. I think it was a Bentley or a Rolls Royce. Very similar, but yeah, massive, massive bill. This guy was giving him the runaround. And very, very kind of cautious about it and was saying that he was going to wire him money. His cousin was overseas, really just kind of all of the sketchy stuff that you hear. So what did my client do? He said, you know what? I'm really leery of this. I just learned my lesson a couple months ago on the 6 Series. So he refused to do any sort of credit card payment. This guy wanted to pick up the car. He knew that if he picked up the car and there was an issue with the credit card payment on it, he was not getting it back. So he made the guy actually give him cash. I think he wired him money. But he said, hey, I'm getting paid now. There's no way that I'm going to let you leave. And this is something that you guys can do if you guys don't trust it. Venmo, not permanent. Credit card, not permanent. PayPal, not permanent. Extended warranty to a large extent. And we'll talk about it in a little bit, not permanent. If you have someone come in and they say, hey, here's my credit card. Boom, swipes, clears. We're good to go. They could go back for, I think, up to 60 days on that and charge that back at any time. You guys know that credit card is risky as it gets. If you have someone that you're concerned about, they could come back a week later and charge this back. Now, again, we'll talk about this. You got to have paperwork. You got to have all of this stuff. But the first thing I'm going to stress on you guys is use your best judgment. If it's shady character, shady car, and you got a bad feeling on it, then go with your gut. Now, you guys might come back to me and say, hey, my state does not allow me to dictate how someone pays me. Again, if that's really what it's going to come down to, if they're going to take you to the state's attorney on this stuff, then they're probably also not going to burn you on the money. But again, use your best judgment on this stuff. It is happening too much. I'm going to talk about the extended warranty in a little bit on here, but I know some of you guys do Venmo. I know some of you guys do PayPal. I'll put my hand up. I just got burned on a Venmo transaction this weekend. Sold some knucklehead. So if you're listening to this, you're a real scumbag out there. I sold my old BMW exhaust to this kid, $400. He lowballed me $300, paid me Venmo, whatever. I'm not sure. No kids carry cash anymore, I guess. And an hour later, he came back and disputed it, that said it was damaged, and I more or less lost on it. I didn't take any pictures of this stuff. It's honestly belonged in the dumpster, but I just learned even this week that Venmo is not a one-way street. Be careful on this, guys. If there's a will, there's a way for that to come back. What about a wire? If someone is being fraudulent and they send you a wire, yeah, they can pull it back. A wire does not have a charge back like the buyer protection, like Venmo, PayPal, and credit cards do. Same thing with Zelle. Be very, very careful out there, guys, sending Zelle, because Zelle is really only, it's kind of an informal way of wiring almost. But again, one-way street. If you send it to someone and it was not fraud, meaning like someone hacked my bank account, one-way street. Credit card. I have to be very clear on this because this is really, really where it comes down to. All of your guys' issue is really coming on the credit cards. And I'll talk about extended warranties a little bit because that's a new one. There is really two different aspects of this, guys. If you have the physical credit card or if you have something called card not present, CNP, and sometimes you can even see on there. There is two different things and they are majorly, majorly different. Credit card present is not permanent, right? We just talked about. And even if the credit card is present, it's the same thing. Whether you have the card or not, there is not going to be any higher or lower risk that someone could charge you back.
there is a much, much, much higher chance that you're going to lose that chargeback if you do not have that card present. I get it, guys. You love to do text to pay. You don't want to do any of this stuff. If you're in a shop owners group, you've seen this happen time and time again. If you go back to a credit card company and you have a dispute, the first thing that they're going to ask you is, did you have the credit card on file? Did you have the credit card on hand? Did you swipe a physical card? This is almost like a flowchart, guys. If they say, yeah, I had a credit card on file, they're going to still ask you, hey, did you have this signed? Did the repair work match who's paying you? Because if someone comes back and says, hey, I never approved that work because that's not my card and that's not my repair order, you guys are going to lose that too. Was there an actual physical signature to either approve the transaction or approve the work? If you have someone in person, most all of these steps happen. You have all the documentation to provide. If you have something where you never talked to the person, they just like solely did it through text to pay on it, you never saw that card, you never saw the ID on it, and the name does not match the actual ticket that you have approval on, you're not going to win any of these. Another thing to think about here, guys, is the credit card fees when you don't have a card, when you don't have the card, is higher than when you do. So if you have someone do text to pay for you, you as the shop owner are taking a hit financially compared to just swiping it. Would I say, should I stop doing any sort of text to pay on here? Absolutely not. I think that there is a time and place for it. I think for trusted customers that it makes our life easier. Great, I'm going to do it. Would it be something that I blanketly offer to anyone, including new customers? No, it really wouldn't. If this has not happened to you guys, then you're lucky. Almost all of the stories, I think every single one of the stories in the last week have all been card not present. These have all been text to pay issues and my clients have lost extremely, extremely quickly. This is the story and they're both kind of similar, but they're a little bit different. One of them was down in Florida. These people don't sell a whole lot of tractor trailer tires, but they had someone that reached out and said, I want whatever, the Dunlop Super Single, big, you know, on-road diesel truck tires. They're a tire distributor, so like, we don't sell that much of them, but this guy is willing to give us decent money for them. Like, he says he'll come pick us up. He's already put a deposit down on it. Hey, what could go wrong here? Sold this guy 8 tires on it. He did it after hours, gave him a good story. Hey, I'm driving on it. I'll pay for it here. Put it here. When I come by here, you know, doing a load, I'll come by and grab them. So bought the 8 tires. Everything was good. I think that was a little bit of a test on there. And the guy, you know, came back a couple of weeks later and same thing on it. Really cool. Great relationship on it. Would love to keep doing this. Have a buddy that's doing it. And again, similar idea, but he wanted 20 tires this time. Flash forward to about 3 days later on it, my client got a notification that that had been charged back as well as the original 8 tires. More or less, this guy knew what he was doing. He knew the letter of the law. When they came back and they said, did you get this sign? Did you get that sign? Did you verify this? Did you verify that? They said, no, 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 and no. None of these were card present. They didn't have any sort of signature on file because their shop management system and the credit card processor did not require that stuff. In their mind, did they have any sort of concern for this before this stuff happened? No. They blindly trusted their credit card company and they blindly trusted that they would have their best interest in mind. And I'll tell you guys here right now, if you've never been through a chargeback before, you're going to lose your first one, right? Because your first one, they actually show you what you did or didn't do. This is a first piece of advice. If you've already had a chargeback on it, you should have already changed your, you know, process and procedures and paperwork to adjust on that. If you have not had a chargeback, call your credit card company. Go down through this. Hey guys, if this happens, what will you guys require? Hey, if this happens, what would you guys require? I think what you might find out is a lot more information and maybe some stuff that you change about your day-to-day business. This is not meant to be kind of critical of any sort of text-to-pay systems. This is not me advocating a credit card company more than others. Right, I will tell you, I would imagine 99% of this are rules for the credit card companies, not the credit card not the credit card processors. Could some of these credit card processors do a better job of educating you guys on some of these things to do to protect yourself more? Absolutely. Should these credit card companies be warning you about some of the risk of some of these payment systems? Absolutely. But they're not, so here I am. Be nervous about this. Be cautious about this. It is happening. The other 3 similar situations on it were all virtually identical, all text-to-pay situations. None of them were over-the-road truckers.
all of them were like kind of lifted diesel trucks. They went out, bought a wheel and tire package from my client, got the wheel and tire package, mounted on the car. They dropped off after hours. They picked up after hours and, of course, came back, charged it back. There was zero video of these people. There was zero call recording of them. And really, my clients had zero paperwork to stand on. This is where crime is going, guys. Like I joked about this in the intro. No one is breaking into your shop or your house. Like, what can they steal? They're going to steal the flat screen TV off the wall. You paid $300 for it. If they can get into your email, if they can get into some of these things, or if they can just get to your shop on it, they can just scam you through the credit card companies. We do so much to try to protect ourselves from fire, from, you know, different things on it. I want you guys to kind of treat theft and embezzlement the same way. Before we kind of go down through like kind of a rapid fire list of action items that you guys should be doing, I got to mention the extended warranty. I know you guys hate the extended warranty company, so you're not going to be surprised to hear any of this stuff on there, but they have been playing some games. For those of you saying, hey, hon, I don't mess with aftermarket warranty companies on this, fine. This is not for you. For those of you that do, one of the things that I've been seeing, and this is not all of them, it's a handful of them, or maybe one or two of the rotten apples, but they're coming back to you guys after you guys have already done work and either adjusting your rates or adjusting what they approved to have done. So I've seen this a couple times in a couple different shop owners groups. I haven't had any of you guys tell me firsthand that actually happened to you. But essentially what they're coming back to is they're saying, we approved this job for $2,400. After review of our rules, we realized that we should have only paid you $1,800 and you now owe us $600 back. Generally, what they're doing on this one is they have your bank account and they're just pulling it out. Or they'll say, we owe you this amount on a new one and we're taking it out of your pocket. Why is this so imperative? Well, A, first and foremost, it's just like a customer charging it back on us. Work is done. We just lost money. That really hurts. The bigger issue, though, for extended warranty companies is I don't think that any of you guys, if you knew this on the front end, would just be willing to take a discount. You guys would say, hey, if you're only going to pay 12 of the 1800, then I'm going to go charge a customer. Be careful in this stuff, guys. I will be honest with you. This is something that the collision guys have known this for a long time. They play these games on them. These aftermarket warranties, they have a game. Play it by their rules. You can still win. You can still abuse their rules. You can still get aggressive on it. Almost every one of these situations that I've seen is you guys probably crossing over that line. You know you're not allowed to charge for that. You know you're not allowed to mark it up that much. They are not going to look at every single ticket that you do, especially if you're kind of a trusted vendor on it. These guys only care about one thing and they only care about money. Eventually, they're going to find this out and eventually they're going to come back and they're going to take it right back. Be careful. Is that enough for some of you guys to say, you know what, I'm done messing with aftermarket warranties? Maybe. I got a good bit of shops that make some pretty good money on these aftermarket warranties because so many other guys just refuse to work with them. Be careful. It's not guaranteed money, even a couple months down the road. So, Hunt, all this seems like it's kind of a bad time to do business. What can I do to protect myself? If you want to protect yourself, the easiest way is to stop doing business and stop accepting any credit cards, right? Just accept only cash. Realistically, that's never going to happen. And like credit is here to stay. The only way to stop this from happening is paperwork and procedure. Make sure that you have the proper paperwork filled out, which means following the procedures on what happens every single time. The ticket has to match who's paying this stuff, guys. If my ticket is for Joe Smith and I have Lisa Stevenson is the one that paid it, if Lisa charges it back, she's going to win every single time because the approval for the work was never approved by the person paying for this. Well, hey, my dad, my cousin. Again, guys, you got to use your best judgment. Which one do you just say, hey, I'm not going to take that other person's payment? Which one do you say I'm going to update this approval to make sure it's that person on it? Again, do your best work on that. Approval authorizations every single time for any reason, all the time. Well, hey, under this, we don't need signed approvals. No, get rid of it. If you think you need a signature on it, get a signature on it. A lot of this also you got to be careful with because sometimes you guys are limited by what your shop management software does. Well, hey, Hunt, my shop management software will not let me get a physical signature on there. Well, last time you called Visa said that the reason they declined is you don't have a physical signature. So if I'm getting declined because my shop management software doesn't do a physical signature, then am I going to leave myself exposed here, right? And just continue to not get signatures? No, absolutely not. I'm either going to figure out a way to get a signature. Outside of that, I'm going to look for a new shop management software. Make sure you protect yourself, guys. There's no reason to do this work for free. Record your calls. This is where you guys can save yourself. If you're not recording your calls, do it. You should be doing it anyway. So listen to your advisors or, you know, quality control stuff. Recorded calls, written communication with the clients, text messaging, all of this stuff will help your case. Last but not least on this, test your team and test yourself. Pull some tickets and go and talk to your credit card companies and say, what if we got charged back on this one? Would this be enough to satisfy it? Would we win? Would we lose? Go back and test your team. I got charged back on this one. Where's the approval? Why didn't you do that, right? And kind of educate them on the severity of this. If this happens and we've lost a chargeback, we're done. We've already passed go. We're never going to get that money back. Go with your gut though, guys. Again, a lot of this probably comes down to how much this is. A $500 ticket, I'm probably going to have a different decision than a $5,000 ticket. A customer that I've been dealing with for 20 years and I know where he lives, I'm probably going to deal with a lot differently than an out-of-state traveler looking to have a quick, you know, fix on his car. So all in all, yeah, sure, you could stop taking credit cards, but you forgot about the days of chasing down customers for bad checks. We are in the electronic age, so we have to naturally adjust on how we do business and how we protect ourselves. What's scarier is these crimes can happen even if you do everything right, but it's easier to be a victim if you're choosing to ignore the risk. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Thanks for listening on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. You can find the rest of the shows on the new Automotive Repair Podcast Network app or on your favorite podcast listening apps. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Number. Special thanks to Chris and Taylor again from Brian's Rhodes Crown. And stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.